Today's episode of The Overwhelmed Brain is brought to you by Away. Get $20 off some darn cool suitcases when you visit awaytravel.com/brain. Make sure to use the promo code BRAIN during checkout to get the discount. Are you annoyed by affirmations? How about incongruent people? What about manipulative people? How about the people who blame all their problems on others and then wait for the world to change so that their lives will improve? Or those people that expect so much from you that you feel completely exhausted and they still want more? What about people
that... Hey, what about me?
What about you?
I come on the air every week and tell people to think positively so that the kind of people you're talking about don't bring you down.
You're right. The people who are always telling us to think positively can be annoying too.
Right. Wait. That's not what I meant.
Well, I gotta go. See ya.
Wait, I'm not done with my segment.
Sorry, when the audio fades like this, there's nothing I can do.
But
if affirmations feel like lies and positive thinking feels like denial, then get ready to start creating the life you've always wanted now. Hello, this is Paul Coliani, personal empowerment coach and host of this show called The Overwhelmed Brain. This is the personal growth show for the critical thinker. On every episode, we'll talk about practical, down-to-earth steps to help you improve your mood and keep you sane in this powerful journey we call life. I want to help you bridge the gap between your emotions and reason, causing you to discover why you do the things you do and what you can do to reach higher levels of happiness and lower levels of stress and overwhelm. And if you're here to learn more common sense tips to improve your life, then you should have chosen the box and not what's behind the curtain, because what's in this box is the direct path to uncommon sense. And that's why it's going to help you learn, heal, grow, and evolve. All right, let's begin the show with something I haven't done in a while, which is a quote. And the reason I want to start with this quote is because I received it in one of my newsletters that I get in my email, and I have a lot of different things that show up in my email. Some of it's motivational and some of it turns out to be too spammy, so I get rid of it. And then I have things like this. And this is the quote. I'm going to read it to you here. And it's by some unknown person that makes quotes or something. And it says, "Be decisive. Right or wrong, make a decision. The road of life is paved with flat squirrels who couldn't make a decision." Now, besides the awful picture that puts in your mind, which I apologize for, there's a strong message here. A very strong message. It's something that I talked about on another episode about make a decision, whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. Because if you're stuck in the middle and you don't make any decision, guess what happens? I call it stagnation. This quote calls it flat squirrel. I'm not very fond of that, but getting that image in your head when you're stuck in between a decision, you know, what am I supposed to do here? What should I do here? Should I go this way? And what if this happens if I go that way? Or should I do this thing instead? And what would happen if I do that thing instead? You know, these are common and rational thoughts that you should have. You should have the thought of, well, should I do this or shouldn't I? Should I say this to this person or shouldn't I? Should I quit my job? Should I get married? Should I get divorced? Should I, you know, whatever. All these decisions that come up in our life. What do we do? What's the next step? What's the right step? I get that question a lot. What's my next right step? I don't know what step to take next. And my suggestion is to always take a step, not stay where you are. Just take a step and see what happens. Now, this doesn't work in every single scenario. You don't walk around on top of a building on the edge and go, I wonder if I should decide to walk closer to the edge and see what happens, or get back closer to the center of the building. You just don't make those kinds of decisions because there's permanence involved. But I think what happens to a lot of us is that we think that every decision that we make is going to be permanent. And it's not like that most of the time. And permanence in the sense that, for example, and I'm going to read a message later on the Ask Paul segment that has something to do with this. The example is, you're not sure if you should leave your relationship because it's permanent. Once I do it, there's no going back. Well, who says that? I mean, not in the sense that whether you say it or not, but where do you get that information? Who tells you that it's permanent? Who tells you that leaving a relationship is permanent? It doesn't even make sense, really. You think, oh, if I leave this relationship, that's it. It's over. No more happiness. No more time with them. And, you know, time with them may be, it may be true. You may not have any more time with them, or you might. We instill this sense of permanence in our minds, and then it stops us from making a decision. It's just like a story I've told once where when I was looking for work, you know, going through the online job ads and thinking, like, what would it be like to work there? Oh, but if I work there, they're going to make me do this, and I won't be able to get out of this job if I start it. It's that sense of permanence I feel. Like, if I start a job, I won't be able to leave it if I don't like it. So better not work. That's not my actual thought process, but that's what happens when we're thinking of making a decision, and is it going to be the right decision? Well, if I make this decision, is it the right one? Will it be permanent? And we procrastinate and we scare ourselves to the point where we don't decide anything. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I take that job? Well, I don't want to make phone calls. And once I take it, even though I need the money, I won't be able to get out of it. And a lot of times it's just not true. Again, if it's a life or death decision, then you have to be careful what you decide. But if it's a decision that all of us have to make at one time or another, should I get into this relationship? Should I not? Should I take this job? Should I not? Should I take a loan out or not? Should I, you know, go bankrupt or not? Or even the simple decisions. Should I buy the teeth whitening toothpaste or not? Or should I go to the park and play frisbee? Or should I stay home and watch TV? Oh, these major life decisions. I don't think I can make them. Well, the idea is to not be a flat squirrel and just make a decision. Reminds me when I was married, my wife and her mom would be like, where do you want to go to dinner? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Anything's fine with me. Well, what do you want? And it would go back and forth, back and forth. And then they would ask me and I would say something immediately. I'd be like, I didn't want to get stuck in that loop, the endless loop of back and forth. And I would just say the name of a restaurant. I'd be like, the hamburger joint down the street. And then they would go, oh, I don't know if I want hamburgers. And then I would say, but you asked. Well, that's what I want. What do you want? And then the cycle would continue again. But at least I said my part and I was ready. I made the decision. But it used to drive me crazy because I see this back and forth. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? When somebody asks me what I want now, I choose to not procrastinate on an answer. I choose to not really think very long about it. I just make the decision. I can't do that with everything, but it has helped me be more efficient. It has grown my confidence in my decisions, because as you make more decisions, right or wrong, your ability to make decisions strengthens. You grow confidence in yourself. It's like, I'm going to make a decision, damn it. That's what I want you to get to, is to get to a place where you go, if you're not already there, get to the place of, I don't care if I'm right or wrong, I'm going to make this decision and make it happen. Again, major life events are different and you're going to have to consider the options and the consequences and things like that, but don't spend too long on them. I know people that, especially in relationships, where they're in a relationship and they're thinking about, well, maybe I should leave, or maybe we can go to therapy, and they're stuck. And I'm not making fun of them because I've been there. They're stuck. They don't know what to do. Maybe he'll change and things will get better, and that causes them to procrastinate even longer on their decision. Or maybe she'll change. Maybe she'll stop smoking and I'll be happy. Or maybe she'll change that habit and I'll be happy again. Or maybe she'll stop flirting with other guys or girls or whatever and I'll be happier. Or maybe he'll stop drinking so late, or whatever, quote, problems or challenges that you have in a relationship that you might be in, intimate or family or friendships, it doesn't matter, is that when we look to others and we think that, let's wait for them to change, and then I can make a decision. That's a problem. You become that flat squirrel. You get into a stagnant state. It's the dog that's chained to a stake in the middle of the yard that just goes around and around and around, and you see this path starting to form and this rut being created, and then soon he's built a moat for himself, and nobody can get past this moat. That's what happens, is we get in indecision. Now, the dog has no choice because he's chained to a stake, but I think that's what where we put ourselves sometimes. We think we're chained to the stake, and most of the time, or much of the time, we're not. When I was looking for work and I saw job prospects, I used to think I was going to be chained to that stake. That once I get in that job, there's no getting out. There's no leaving. Now I'm committed forever. Because I've been such a loyal, dedicated, hardworking person that I think that that's who I need to be. I need to stay dedicated, even if I don't like it. And that's not empowering. That's disempowering or unempowering. So we want to get out of that state of mind, that nothing is really permanent, although we want some things to be permanent. We want it. It doesn't always happen. Much of the time it does not. But we have to remember that when we have trouble making a decision, that nothing has to be permanent. Oh, if I leave this person, we'll never see each other again, and I'll never experience happiness again. No, that's not permanent. And you can't even predict the future to say that's true. It's possible that you will meet up again in the future as new people, as healthier people, and get together and everything will be great. Or it's possible that you'll meet someone even better. And we don't think of the better. We only think of what we're losing. We don't think of what we're gaining. There's always something to gain. Even when you leave the best thing in your life, there's still something to gain. Because you learn from, quote, the best thing in your life, and then you move on to something better because now you have new standards and a new way of looking at things, new perceptions, and you have different criteria than you had before. So you abide by your new standards and you get something better than you had before. And I'm talking about anything. Job, relationship, more money, more stuff, more everything. We're always after more. Or something better. Maybe we're not always after more. Just something better. Or you can look at it the other way. Something that doesn't hurt me. Something that doesn't make me miserable. So my advice is to not be the flat squirrel, not to put yourself in stagnation by being indecisive. Make a decision. Take a step. Take a leap of faith. Because by doing so, you're going to strengthen a foundation in you that will absolutely help you out in the future. And you'll also gain a certain amount of admiration. Not that I'm promoting egoistic admiration, but in a sense, somebody will look at you and go, wow, you really know how to make a decision for yourself. You really know how to stand up and take charge, or you're really efficient. I mean, they're going to notice this quality about you. So you may not be interested in people admiring you or anything like that. But when people look at you and realize that you're just that congruent, like, I think, therefore it is, I think, therefore I'm going to decide, then people start trusting you more. You become trustworthy in their eyes. Like, wow, you just say what's on your mind. They like that. People like that. Not everyone likes it. Some people don't want to know the truth. Some people don't want to know what's on your mind. But most people like it. So that's what I wanted to start off this show with, is that quote. And I'll say it again in case you're writing all of this down. Be decisive. Right or wrong, make a decision. The road of life is paved with flat squirrels who couldn't make a decision. By author unknown. Be right back with the Ask Paul segment in a minute. All right, this is one of my favorite sounds. Are you ready? That was me opening up my strong, lightweight, impact-resistant away suitcase. And when I hear that noise, it usually means the beginning of a vacation or something cool. You know how you get to your hotel room after a long flight and the first thing you do is get all those clothes out of your suitcase and onto the hangers? Well, you do that, right? Well, I do most of the time. I own one of the coolest suitcases I've ever seen. I got the carry-on by Away. This is not your typical carry-on. It's very light, you can overstuff it, and you can even plug your phone or tablet into it to charge. And one of the best features of all the Away luggage is that they cut out the middleman and don't provide their unique travel cases to retail stores. That means lower prices for you. And I know when you see one of these, you're gonna love it. They're built to withstand some of the most aggressive baggage handlers. And they have a lifetime warranty. Do you even remember lifetime warranties? You just don't see those anymore. So that means if anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for life. This is unheard of. Not only that, why don't you just get it anyway and try it for 100 days? They want you to live with it, vibe with it, travel with it, and even Instagram it. And if after all that you're not fully satisfied, they'll take it back and give you a full refund. If you've been wanting to upgrade those old, creaky wooden suitcases that you got from your great-grandparents, now's the time. Choose from three sizes, the carry-on, the medium, or the large for extended stays. Visit awaytravel.com/brain and make sure to use the promo code BRAIN to get $20 off your order. Plus, if you just happen to be in the continental U.S., you'll get free shipping too. Remember, that sound could mean the beginning of your next vacation. Visit away.com/brain to check it out and make sure you use promo code BRAIN for the discount. Okay, welcome back. This is Ask Paul. This is where I read a listener email on the air and I do my best to help them out through a challenge or two that they're going through. And I tell you what, this week we have a doozy. There's a lot going on in this email and I had to condense some of it. It was really long, but I didn't condense too much because I want you to hear the whole thing. And as I read this, I want you to think of what you would tell this person as I'm reading it. And unfortunately, you know, I get these emails and it takes me a month or two to get to the point where I can actually read them on the air. And there's a big queue that I have. So I have to go through this queue. And then when I finally get to these letters, sometimes too much time has passed where they have something going on and it's too late for me to address it. Something's already happened. Now, this isn't always a bad thing. It's sort of like when I used to answer phones and tech support a long time ago. People would call me up and they would say, I have this problem and I've had it for weeks and I can't fix it. And I'd be like, okay, let me check on things. I'll be right back. And I would put it on hold. And geez, you know, half the time I come back from hold, they said, I figured it out. I can't believe it. just for this minute, I figured it out. I did something differently and now my life is better. And I would be like, great. And then I would say goodbye and everything would be great. So half the time you do things on your own and it works. But sometimes you just need a little impetus to make it happen. A little fire under your butt in some way. Like, I'm going to call tech support and get this taken care of. But because you had that thought, you probably have new thoughts as well. For example, some people write to me and then I'll write back like a month or two later and say, is this situation still the same? Because I'd like to address it on the air. And then they'll write back and say, oh, you know, I left that person already and now I'm with this new person and we're wonderful. Or they'll say something else like, oh yeah, that's changed and now I have this new problem. And then the other half of the time I'll get, oh no, things are still the same. In fact, they're worse. So I feel bad that I can't address things right away. I just have, you know, too many emails that come in at the same time, but I still get to every single one of them. So I pre-framed what I'm about to read here because this has kind of an expiration date of the end of September. And right now we're a week away from the end of September as you hear this, probably less than a week. Or if you listen later, it's already beyond September 2016 and you're wondering, I wonder what happened. And hopefully in a future episode, I'll talk about what happened. But I want to read this anyway, if I'm too late or not, because this might affect someone listening. This might affect you. And the subject matter in this letter is important, that if it is affecting someone else, if I can't help this person in enough time, then maybe I can help someone else listening. And that's what I'm hoping that this ends up with. And I hope I can help this person as well. But get ready to yell at your podcast player, whatever you're using, because I'm about to read something that had me going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Here we go. Are you ready? All right. Hi, Paul. I'm in need of some help. Less than a year married on paper, and it feels like it's a complete mistake. I started listening to your podcast recently, and they've given me some inspiration to better my situation, but I want to be happy, and that's why I'm writing to you. In these last couple months, I feel like I've been ignoring all the red flags and dysfunction in this relationship, and now I feel I want out. Our marriage, like I said, is on paper as of last year, but the actual wedding is supposed to be at the end of September, and I am dreading it instead of being excited for it. Again, I'm sorry that I'm reading this letter so late. It's just, I didn't realize it was so close to your wedding, so I apologize about that. So she goes on, but now, how do I get off this train? When we met, I was emotionally unbalanced, coming out of a sickness that I'd had, and I think I was desperate to be with someone. And as you have said, you attract what emotional point you're at. So this is what I attracted in my unbalanced place in life. He just got out of a long-term relationship a few months before we met, and she kind of messed him up, as he claims. They were also dysfunctional. There were many things that happened in that relationship, and he felt that it destroyed him. He isn't the most affectionate person, not big into lots of kisses. He doesn't like holding hands. He isn't big into hugs or saying I love you very often. I needed more than he was giving, but I was blind. I let something I wasn't okay with be okay. Since we have been together, he has jumped from job to job. Only a few months ago, he found a real career job that actually pays decent. From the beginning, I'm embarrassed to say that I have supported him financially. There's never a month that I didn't have to pay most of rent, groceries, paying for trips, and even some of his bills. Red flag, I know. But I thought I was in love, and I was doing this because I loved him, and I was doing it out of kindness and generosity. There was a period of time that he was on disability and wasn't allowed to work, which put us under additional financial stress. Another part that is tough is that I'm not sure why I let slide that he was a smoker. I hate smoke. From listening to your podcasts, I did not honor my boundaries with so many things with him, and especially with the smoking. All right, so this letter's going to go on, and I'm going to continue reading it. And if you haven't yelled at your podcast player yet, get ready. And I mean this out of respect, because I know that the person who wrote this is in a tough situation. If this hasn't changed, it is a tough situation, and I'm going to address it right after I read it. So I don't mean to joke and make fun of this, because I take it very seriously. So here we go, part two. From listening to your podcasts, I did not honor my boundaries with so many things with him, and especially with the smoking. I asked him to stop smoking when I'm in the car with him, but he has never really bothered to. I literally have to argue with him to just wait until we park so he can smoke. He's also a recovering drug addict and has been clean since I've known him, and is on a program, which is another thing that I had to help pay for monthly for his appointments and or medicine. He also drinks every day. It's a few drinks, not getting wasted or drunk daily, but it still bugs me, the daily drinks. He has an addictive personality and also has a bit of an anger control problem. He hasn't hit me, but maybe you can call it emotional abuse. I have been taking this over the years, but not realizing it. He has punched walls and furniture and thrown things, and he yells when he's angry. It is sometimes a bit frightening. It felt like sometimes I was walking on eggshells. He gets triggered easily, and he gets upset, and he can't be reasoned with. Many times in the past, he has said that if he wasn't with me, he would probably have ended up dead or in jail, since he may not have stayed on the program or stayed clean, I guess. I hate that he used that against me, and I stayed this long. But now he says he can't see himself with anyone else, and he doesn't know what he'd do without me. It feels trapping, and it sucks. At this point, I feel burnt out. I've supported him financially, emotionally, and as a caretaker. I've even hit the point that I don't want to have sex with him. It feels like another thing that I have to do for him. We've had many arguments about a few things, like why we haven't been intimate enough, or some of the crappy things that he's said in anger, like him making enough money that he can live on his own, or if he was any other guy that couldn't control himself, he would have beat me by now. He gets hurt so often, and I feel like a caretaker. I do feel trapped. He says he wouldn't know what to do without me. We've been arguing so much that I'm so burnt out and emotionally closed off that if things don't get better, I'm not sure what we have left with each other. I want us each to be happy, but right now we make each other miserable. I told him maybe if we can't be with each other, that we just have to walk away from this relationship. I think he almost lost it. He was freaking out that I would even consider separation because he doesn't believe in divorce, and he can't live without me. Or he would say, "What am I going to do without you?" Unfortunately, I reverted to my usual behavior and covered it up by saying, "Yes, we'll work on our relationship, and we can work past this." I didn't know what to do. I just said what he wanted to hear, not my truth. And it's been sitting like a pit in my stomach and causing me to have anxiety, stress, and high blood pressure that I've never really had in the past. After a few days, we revisited that conversation, and he said, "We have moved past this now, so let's move forward." He thinks it's just a bump in the road, and I can just move on like it's that easy. How can I move forward? I'm so drained, hurt, and broken at this point in time. So now I'm walking around holding in the truth and unhappy. Weirdly enough, after those conversations, he realized some of his mistakes and has now become affectionate, and he's trying, and he says he'll quit smoking and drinking less. But it feels fake, and now sex, kissing, hugs, everything feels forced. All these years I was ignoring the red flags and my gut telling me to leave, but I've hit a wall now. I didn't honor my boundaries and let him take advantage of me. He has been taken care of and doesn't realize how I see things. Him trying so hard now feels too late. Is that a horrible thing to say? Is this relationship salvageable or beyond the point of return? I just want to be happy, but I don't know what to do. It's a bit embarrassing that we've been married on paper less than a year, and I want out. My job is the best part of my day. I want to cancel our wedding, but how do I do it? I started going to a therapist. Should I bring him along? Can we save this marriage when I feel like my heart isn't in it anymore? He says he wouldn't know what to do without me. How do I tell him my truth? Right now, he thinks that we're back on track, but inside, I'm grinding. Can I get back to loving him and feelings for him that I had in the beginning? It feels like I've woken up from a dream. I want to be happy and be in a good place with myself. But can that happen if I stay with him? These days, my head is swimming. I have a constant knot in my stomach. I know this is a long email, but I hope I can get some insight from you. Feel free to use this as a topic on your podcast if you would like. Just use a different name. Best regards, and here's your different name, Marsha. Okay, you can stop yelling at your podcast player or computer or tablet or phone because I'm going to talk now. What do I say to this? How do I respond to this? This is one of those letters where the first thing it reminds me of is something that my girlfriend's therapist, when she went to therapy quite a few years back, when she was married and she was considering leaving, just like Marsha is here. And the therapist asked my girlfriend, "All right, if you were your best friend, what would you tell yourself?" And she was talking about the marriage, you know, staying or leaving, or what would you tell yourself about this guy, about staying or leaving? And my girlfriend said, "Well, I would tell myself to run." And when she heard herself say that, she had a realization that she was in the wrong relationship right then and there. I mean, she already knew it. She just couldn't take action on it. I mean, this is going to fit right in alignment with the last segment about making a decision, taking action before you become that flat squirrel. And when she heard herself say, "Run," I would tell her to run, she realized for the first time that, wow, I am in the wrong relationship. And she was. She was in not a good situation at all. In fact, some of the points that you made, Marcia, in your letter were very similar to hers. And she stayed for years and years and years, even to the point where, I mean, when she was getting married, she was like, this is wrong. So I can definitely relate in the sense that I've heard this before. And not just from my girlfriend now, but from a lot of other people, where they're in a situation where there's red flag after red flag after red flag, yet you stay for some reason. And one of the things that you said over and over again was, he is saying things to guilt you. Now, this is classic manipulation. This is classic. How can I pull at your heartstrings to get what I want from you? How can I use your own emotions against you to get what I want so that I'm happy, so that I'm satisfied? I'm poking at my chest right now as if I'm the jerk. How can I get from you what I want in my life, regardless of your happiness? Ah, here we go. I can make you feel guilty. And when I do that, you don't want to feel that feeling, so you'll give in. And you'll give in and end up with other feelings that you don't want. But for some reason, the guilt wins. The guilt wins, which means you stay, instead of the other feelings and physical symptoms. Your increased heart rate, your anxiety, that pit of your stomach feeling, and the violations of your personal boundaries, the violation of your values. I mean, there's so many violations here. I don't even know where to begin. The very first thing that you said where this letter started going south was asking him to not smoke in the car with you. And first of all, that's one of your values. You don't want a smoker in your life. If you don't want a smoker, you don't be with a smoker. And like you said, you should have honored yourself earlier and not been with a smoker. I'm not saying smokers are bad. I'm just saying that you have certain values in your life and you want to respect those values. Otherwise, you'll be unhappy. So how do you make yourself unhappy? You go against your values. This is why my Stop Self-Sabotage worksheet at theoverwhelmedbrain.com, get it. That's why it's so popular. That's why people keep downloading it and learning what they value most so that they don't sabotage themselves later. One of your values is in relationships is, I don't want a smoker. And it might be a high value. The higher the value, the more you abide by it and keep in integrity with it. As soon as you violate your own boundary, it's all downhill. And it's very rare that I will say, run myself, but this is one of those cases. You can't stay with this person. You can't. There's no reason to stay. There's nothing in your letter that says, I love him, or he does things for me that no one else can or does. He treats me like no one else does. He respects me. He supports my happiness. There's nothing in this letter that reflects that. And what you're doing is allowing guilt to override everything else. I think you need to place guilt at the bottom of your list and have everything else override it. You know, the physical symptoms that you're having in your stomach, in your head, in your body. I know you feel it all over the place. The violation of your boundaries. As soon as you violate your own boundaries, then the game is on. Anyone can do anything to you. You're just a pincushion or a punching bag. And that's what's happening. Your mention of emotional abuse. Any type of abuse is unacceptable. You have to get away from someone who's emotionally abusing you. You have to get away from abuse at all possible. Let's see what else is in here. Let me scroll up. Anxiety. You have anxiety and stress and the high blood pressure. I mean, all this stuff has to override guilt. It has to. This is what I want you to do is put guilt at the very bottom. Because right now, guilt is overriding everything else. I mean, does this make sense? If you allow guilt to run your life, then you're always going to make decisions based on what other people want from you instead of what you need to do for yourself, instead of what you deserve. You deserve better than this. I don't care if the wedding is tomorrow. you need to walk away from this any way you can. The idea here is not to take responsibility for his feelings. It's to take responsibility for your own. Regardless of his past, he's gotten as far as he's gotten to this point in life somehow before you and without you. He got through it. Here's another one, drinking every day. I'm not saying that's a problem. Some people can handle their alcoholic intake, and that's fine. But if he has former drug abuse or former alcoholism, and he's still drinking every day, that's a big red flag. Let's see, what else? You don't enjoy the sex. It almost feels like it's something else that you have to do for him, which makes me wonder if you're doing it against your will, and that's bad. You feel like a caretaker, which has caused him to be dependent on you. I mean, on and on and on. I can just create a bullet list of everything that you've said. And your questions at the end, you've already answered all of your own questions. You wrote this as if you were answering your own questions. So the questions at the end of your letter, you already know the answer to. The only thing stopping you from making the decision is that you've placed guilt so high on your decision-making process. And what needs to usurp that is honoring yourself. If you let guilt usurp your own personal boundaries, you'll never be happy. Finding happiness will be difficult. It will be incredibly difficult. If you stay with a person you don't even like, you won't be happy. You asked, can I get back to loving him and feelings for him that I had in the beginning? Absolutely, there's a chance, but not if you stay together. I hate to tell you that because it's blunt, and I typically like to be tactful, but this is dangerous for you. This is very dangerous. What you describe to me is someone who manipulates to get what he wants and uses you against yourself. You are a tool to reach his end. You are a means to an end so he can be fulfilled in life by depleting you of energy, by depleting you of happiness, by taking away from you. And that is one of the most dangerous relationships, is when someone gets their needs met by bleeding you dry. It's dangerous. What you're describing to me is dangerous. So the question is, do you put yourself in danger, or do you get out of danger? Forget the guilt. Forget what he says to manipulate you so you'll stick around. Do you put yourself in danger? This is what I want you to concentrate on. This is what I want you to focus on. Do you put yourself in danger by staying with someone who is dangerous, or do you get away from someone who is dangerous? Regardless of the consequences, because what he does after you leave is his problem, his decision. The day you decide to feel guilty because someone says they're going to hurt themselves or do something they might regret is the day that you give up your power and you give up living happily. I mean, it's over for you. It's like you're dying. So do you feel like you want to take that on? Do you feel like you want to go through that? Or do you want to be happy? Someone who threatens you in the sense, because it is a threat, in the sense that where they say, I'm going to kill myself or I'm going to hurt myself if you leave me. I mean, the answer is that's your choice. I hope you don't do that because you have good qualities and I know that you'll be fine. But I hope you don't do that, but I still have to honor myself. And I read something on a website just recently that said, you know, our relationship shouldn't be based on threats anyway. It should be based on love and respect. Yeah, but I don't know what to do if you leave me. I'm lonely without you and I'll feel desperate and I might do something crazy. That is manipulation. That's emotional abuse. That is the way to hold your own compassion against you. It's a threat. Typically, it's an empty threat. Sometimes they come through with it. But what do you want for you? That's what you need to focus on. If you focus on the consequences of what might happen to him, you lose yourself. You lose your ability to be happy, to find your own power, to get out of bad situations. You need to find yourself again. Focus on yourself and do what's right, even if that means you're at the altar and you walk off. Because staying in something that's dangerous for you, even if Everyone else wants you to get married and they're all part of it and everything's paid for. It doesn't matter. I know now there might be some people yelling at me saying, why are you telling her that if everything's paid for? Well, hopefully not, because you see the result of staying in a situation that is dangerous. And emotional abusers, well, they can get better, but not when they're with a person who allows the emotional abuse. It's the feedback mechanism. It creates dysfunction, feeds back dysfunction. If you allow emotional abuse, it continues. It's a cycle that perpetuates. Bad energy in, bad juju out, or something like that. You'll get in the future what you're getting now, only eventually you'll be so burnt out and so jaded after so much time that you'll just allow things to happen. It's the abused mind where it gets more and more tolerant of abuse. Because once you learn to accept it the first time, that personal boundary violation, it just gets worse and worse. You get more and more tolerant of it because you let yourself do it the first time. But, you know, overall, this whole letter is not about looking back at your past and thinking about the mistake that you made and staying with someone who violated your personal boundaries. Forget all that. Look at today and go, is this relationship right for me? Am I more happy than I'm unhappy? And if both answers are no, then leave. Because your safety is most important. Your happiness is most important. And your power is most important. You know what that is, empowerment. You must stay empowered so that you can make decisions that are right for you. You have to make decisions that are right for you. Otherwise, you'll get beaten down. And if you don't believe what you just said in your email, then I'm going to brand it on your forehead right now. Now, I'm only going by what you said in the email. I only have one side of the story. But if all of this is true, you are in an abusive relationship. And this will not get better until you get out of it. So, you know, do with that what you will. If you want my opinion, you want my insights, I'm giving you a direct command to take care of yourself. Focus on what you want for you, what you need to do for you, and make it happen. In my opinion, that means leaving. That means getting away from someone who is toxic to you. This has toxicity written all over it, which is why I believe that anyone listening, they're going to be yelling at the podcast. Why is she still with this guy? What is wrong with her? There's nothing wrong with you, by the way. You're perfectly fine because you realize these things. All you need to do now is not become a flat squirrel. To go forward, no matter what. Take some losses. You might lose some of your investment into the wedding planning. Somebody else might lose their investment. Family might lose their investment. But you save yourself. And this is what it's all about. Save yourself here. I hope this helps. I wish you the best. I'm so sorry I got to this letter so late in the game. I hope I caught it. I hope you were able to come to a place in yourself where you aren't motivated by guilt, but you are motivated by self-empowerment, by doing the right thing for both of you. I mean, really, separating is the right thing for both of you. Because without someone to be abused, there can't be an abuser. Put those pieces together in your mind. Connect those dots. And not everyone feels like they can stop abusing. So if there's nothing to abuse, maybe they can take time for self-reflection and realize what they're doing. I speak of this from not a former abuser myself, but a former judger. And judgment can be somewhat emotionally abusive, or maybe more than I think. Maybe I was more of an abuser than I realized. I was putting her through some emotional abuse. So definitely I'm speaking here that when I was out of that relationship, that was my time to reflect and heal and get away from the person I was. So maybe you have to do both of you a favor and leave. And some people may not like it, but tough stuff. You need to get to a better place fast. This is not becoming a better, happier, healthier, more productive relationship. It's going downhill, and there's an avalanche and you're running away from the avalanche that's close behind, do the right thing for you. Keep your head on straight and keep your focus on what needs to happen in your life. Thank you so much for writing, Marcia. I appreciate you, and send me an update. I hope to hear good news. If everything's changed and now he's a wonderful person, well, I can't see that happening in this short of period of time. It can, but I think people need more time than that. So just let me know either way. Thanks again for writing, and we'll be right back. All right, I want to tell you about Asha with Get Out of the Mess. She has been in a lot of messes. And several years ago, I think it's been 8 or 9, she told me that she signed up with a service called Legal Shield. She used to feel so alone in all these messes that she was getting in. And after she signed up, she didn't anymore. She didn't feel alone because she wasn't. Because she has the ability to call them anytime and ask them any questions. And if you've been listening to the show a while, you've heard her tell these stories. Like, I got my tooth knocked out by a baseball at a park. When she told me that story, I was like, wow, what happened? And she said, like, the fence or the safety net wasn't installed right, or wasn't installed at all or something. And it went right through the safety net and hit her square in the face and broke her front tooth. Now, you can imagine, she is a singer. She goes on stage. She sings in front of people. And for months, she had no front tooth. And so when she told me that story, I was like, that's wild. That is amazing. And for several years, she had that operated on. And I remember when I first met her, she had what was known as a flipper, which is basically a tooth that you put in temporarily and it just flips. I guess. I think that's what it does. Well, it can be flipped out. She can just take it out easily. And she was really embarrassed by it. And she didn't want to meet me for the very first time and have no tooth. But she did. And I thought it was adorable. I guess I'm that kind of guy. But eventually she got it fixed and things like that. But thinking about when she first told me that story about getting hit with a baseball, she called the park. And she's on the phone with them and they're like, oh my God, are you okay? Wow, I'm so sorry that happened. You know, this is why we have insurance. We're going to take care of it for you. Don't worry about it. And she didn't. She thought everything was going to work out. Well, she called them again and talked to the same guy. And he had a different attitude this time. He was like, well, you know, we need to discuss this and we need to figure out, you know, exactly whose fault it was and things like that. And suddenly her heart started beating faster. She started sweating. I'm kind of making things up because I wasn't there, but I'm putting myself in her position going, what would happen to me? Like, what? What? Are you saying that you're not going to take care of it? You were so sure before. And she was going by their assurance that everything would be taken care of. So who did she call? She called a lawyer that was under the Legal Shield plan. Legal Shield works in Canada in the US, and what they do is provide you a law firm that is local to you, pretty much, I mean, in the state itself, and you get to contact that law firm and talk to an attorney. You know, you leave a message and they call you back, usually within 2 hours, but you're talking to an attorney that would normally charge, I don't know, what do they charge nowadays, $250 an hour? But you're only doing it for $20 a month. She was able to talk to an attorney and he told her exactly what she needed to do. Exactly. And the attorney was fantastic. But she felt like if she wasn't in this system that she wouldn't have been able to afford what she went through. And it's just vital to have somebody on your side and not feel so alone when these things arise. So call Asha. Call her at 678-355-8777. Or visit getoutofthemess.com and send her a message or just sign up. You can sign up right there and get this service. I highly recommend it, and it does much more than you probably think it does. So give her a call, 678-355-8777. All right, before we end the show, I got a couple of things here. I want to thank Jess McSee, Matthew S., and Annie Telekazani for their reviews in iTunes. It's so much better to see some good reviews after a couple one-star reviews. And one of the things about that, when somebody criticizes your work or criticizes you, is that there are always 10 times the number of people that will rally to support you when that happens. If somebody comes up and says, you're so stupid, or you don't know what you're doing, there's going to be 10 people that come up and say, what? You're brilliant. I mean, why would they even say that? It happens all the time. It's just that we end up focusing on the bad. You know how it goes. You hear 100 great comments and one bad one, and you focus on that bad one. But sometimes it's nice to get one bad one to see all these other people come out of the woodwork and give you a good comment or compliment you in some way. It still doesn't feel good when it happens. I mean, somebody says something bad, but I look at the source and wonder, they don't have all the facts. They don't know what I go through. They don't have the whole story. And maybe they just like making people feel bad because it makes them feel good. I don't know. But thank you for those reviews in iTunes. And let me read you this one last email. It's going to be real quick. And she wants me to use her real name. This is rare. So Melanie, if you're listening, she writes, good afternoon, Paul. I'm so pleased that I came across your podcast. Having an incredibly overwhelmed brain over the last couple of years myself, I've become somewhat of a self-help junkie and in search for inner happiness and strength. I typed in the word overwhelmed in a search engine and then poof, it's those you magically appeared, and I am grateful for that. Anxiety and panic has controlled me for years. Now in the 44th year and with lots of introspection, I have learned how to control it. What led me to your podcast was one of my discoveries. I'm a huge music lover, and for years, I have relied on music for motivation, distraction, etc. I related music to memories. Good ones, bad ones, sad ones, and happy ones. It seemed that while I was looking to distract myself from the bad and sad memories, that I was actually intensifying my anxiety. It was actually triggering me. So I decided to change my routine and habit. I searched the internet and discovered how and what podcasts were. And this is how I found you. So now I listen to your podcast. Okay, sometimes I listen twice. And I feel uplifted and centered. Keep up the great work, Paul. You're doing a fabulous job in helping so many people. I'm excited for you and I can't wait to read your book. Take care, Melanie. Thank you, Melanie. Yay. Maybe I should put a clapping track here. So the reason I wanted to read that not was to boost my own ego, although that does help. But two reasons. It's what I just said. It goes to show you that when you hear something critical or something bad or something negative about you, there's always somebody else out there that's going to say something positive. Somebody that comes out of the woodwork and they'll go, what? You know, I can't believe that. That's not true at all. That's not you. So keep that in mind. But secondly, she said something about music. Now, this is so important because music is what's called an anchor or a trigger, or however you want to look at it, where when you hear it, it reminds you of something. Sometimes you'll hear something positive that will make you happy. Or sometimes you'll hear a song that reminds you of a happy time in your life. So when you hear the song, it kind of overrides some of the feelings. Now maybe what was happening with Melanie is that she had this anxiety and maybe some fears that the music was not necessarily overriding, but like painting over. You know, it's like, let's paint over the asbestos so it doesn't poison us. It's whatever's in there is still in there. So just painting it over with music, it can help you get through certain emotional events in your life for sure. I mean, I still use it when I need it. But sometimes it does just hide what's still there, which is why it's important to do introspection, to go inside. And what she said, she found podcasts and she found this show, and it has helped her to consider things in herself, maybe some unresolved emotions or repressed negative emotions of some sort that needed to come out, needed to be processed, or whatever was in there just needed to be addressed. So music is helpful in the sense that it can be a reminder of the good times and the good feelings. It can be nostalgia in some ways. It can also be motivating and maybe help you get out there and exercise and all these things. Music is one of those tools in your life that can be very helpful. Like my girlfriend uses it if she ever feels depressed. She goes, I don't know why I don't listen to more music if I'm depressed. I don't mean clinically depressed. I mean just down. She'll say, I don't know why I don't listen to music more often when I'm down, because it really lifts me up. And it can. I mean, if you're going through some temporary thing, music can lift you up. And when you find music that you can listen to over and over again, like I myself really appreciate Spanish guitar. I appreciate a group that is no longer around called Bee Tribe. And I listen to that whenever I need to just be with me. And that's another thing that music does. It allows you to be with you. So be with you. Use the music. But don't make it hide things that you need to work on. It's okay to use it as a temporary lifter or make you happy or even make you feel sad. I mean, a lot of music will do that. It'll make you feel sad. And sometimes that sadness can be accessed by turning on something that makes you feel sad. So anyway, music to you is specific to you. It's your own. It's what you do with it. You may not like what somebody else likes, but what you do like affects you. It affects your mood, affects your emotions. So go with it. Utilize it. Make it yours. Make it prevalent when you need it. And also do what Melanie did. If you get to a place where music is a temporary fix, but you still feel bad or some way negative afterward, then listen to this show. Or find other shows. Or read books. And be with yourself in other ways. So I just wanted to include this short little segment right at the end. Because I wanted to read that letter and thank Melanie. Thank you, Melanie. I appreciate that. And also to tell you to utilize music, that it does have therapeutic benefits. And it can be a quick fix in a certain situation. Like even when you feel anxious, turn on music that makes you feel comfortable. Even when you feel angry or sad or another emotion, if you play music that really makes you feel good, then it might change your state. But absolutely, what Melanie said is true. Sometimes you just have to go beyond what you've been using to cover what you've been feeling so that you can get farther, if that makes sense. If you listen to music so you don't have to deal with your emotions, that could be a problem. So really try not to use anything that stops you or prevents you from addressing what you really need to address inside. But, you know, sometimes you just can't handle it. Sometimes you just don't have the energy. You don't have the bandwidth left. And you just want to chill out for a while. Veg out. Turn on some music. Play a game. Do something that really doesn't involve too much effort or time or energy. You're allowed to have a break every now and then, even through all this personal growth work that you're doing. You deserve it. Thanks, Melanie, and thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I'm going to thank a few people, say some final words, and end the show. Talk to you in a minute. Hang tight. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. Check out awaytravel.com/brain and you'll get to see something that I learned firsthand when I received my cool carry-on in the mail. I love it. I can't find cases like this anywhere, especially at this price. So go to awaytravel.com/brain and make sure you use the promo code BRAIN to get $20 off. I know you're going to love it as much as I do mine. And I want to thank Asha with getoutofthemess.com. She's going to help you get out of the mess, I swear. Or at least tell you if it's possible. Call her at 678-355-8777 or visit getoutofthemess.com and either sign up or send her an email from there. I also want to thank you if you're using the Amazon link on the website at theoverwhelmedbrain.com. That helps pay for this show. It really does. There's hosting, there's cost for the website, there's the cost for audio equipment, the technology. There's a lot of costs involved, and I could just keep listing on and on. So if you find value in this show and you want to help support it, use the Amazon link. Every time you shop, they send us a small percentage of everything you purchase, and it is absolutely helping. So thank you for doing that. Anyone who's doing that, thank you so much. And if you're in the TOB patron program, I want to thank you too. That is a way to support the show and get something back. I mean, I'm sure you get a lot from this show, but there's more in the patron program. If you want more of The Overwhelmed Brain, go to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com and check it out. And finally, thank you to Kevin McLeod of incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And in conclusion of this episode of The Overwhelmed Brain, I will stay on topic here and tell you about something that every one of my previous relationships, how they should have ended. Oh, this ought to be interesting. How They Should Have Ended by Paul Coligliani. The woman in my life should have left sooner. Now, the reason I say that is because by allowing the relationship to continue after they were done, after they realized that it was not healthy for them, they were no longer in love, they no longer liked me, whatever it was, they probably should have left sooner. Because how long do you need to wait after you realize a truth? How long should you wait? My thought is to not wait long at all. I know that it sounds maybe premature, like, oh, don't you have to think about it? I mean, what would happen if I made the wrong decision? I mean, what happens if I'm just going through a temporary thing where, you know, I don't like you now, but maybe I'll like you later? Well, like I said, nothing's permanent. They could have left and I would have been sad, maybe devastated. And then a few months later, they might say something like, oh, gee, I think I left too soon and I want you back. And it's a possibility we could have gotten back together. But there's no way to tell what's going to happen. There's no way to tell how you're going to feel unless you do it. Because when you're in it, it usually doesn't change unless there's already progress happening. If you look in the past, 6 months, year, 10 years, 20 years, and nothing has changed, or things are getting worse, or I should say nothing has changed and you're not happy about it, or things are getting worse, then they're not going to change. Period. Come to believe it. Adopt it. Come to accept that nothing will ever change. Because even if it's not true, at least you're taking care of yourself today. But most of the time it is true. I mean, look at the past and you'll see what's going to happen in the future. That doesn't mean you look at past relationships, although that does help too. Just look at the relationship you're in. Is something going to change? No. Is it getting better? Is it worse? Is it good and it's staying the same? I mean, these are all questions that you can ask yourself. I prefer them to get better over time. When they get worse over time, then I would prefer a good, honest talk or therapy, or don't stay. Just get out of that thing if it's not getting better, if you can't work it out. Now, I know there are kids involved and marriages and finances and things like that. And yes, they have to be considered. Absolutely. People will be affected. Finances will be affected. Living situation will be affected. And sometimes you have to plan in advance for these things. But boy, I mean, you heard the letter I read today. If it's that bad, don't subject yourself to it any longer, because it will wear you down to the point where you can't make a decision. You'll just feel so defeated. And it just doesn't work that way. But if it's bad, but you can handle it, and you have kids and a mortgage and two cars, and you have all these things tied in together, it might take a little longer. But, you know, are you happy more than you're unhappy? If yes, is this a relationship that you know can work and continue to work? If the answer is yes, then maybe it's a good thing. Then maybe it can work out. But if there's manipulation going on, or you're unhappy more than you're happy, or the past proves that this person isn't changing, then it's time to make a decision to do what's right for you and everyone involved. Because your decision to empower yourself and make yourself happy is healthy for everyone, believe it or not. And I'm not going to explain why again. Just re-listen to this episode or listen to 1,000 other episodes that I've done and understand that your decision, I'm going to repeat it, your decision for your empowerment, for your happiness, is good and right and healthy for everyone. They may not like it. It may be painful at first. But if there's no way to achieve empowerment and happiness while you're in a relationship, then how can you be there for anyone else? That's a partial point of a bigger picture that I'm going to leave you with. I'm not here to promote separation and divorce and things like that. I'm only here to promote what's best for you. And really, you're the only one who can decide that. But don't get to a place where you feel so defeated that you can't even decide that. Like today's letter from Marsha. She can't even decide to leave, even though she sees everything that's bad, which is almost everything. It's not good. So don't get to that place where you can't even make a decision that you know is the right decision. And this isn't only about intimate relationships. This is about everything in your life. Because no matter what comes at you, it's important that you keep your mind open so that you can step into your power and be firm in your decisions and actions. That way you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.